Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This story was first published on February 28th of 2010, under the headline, After 80 Years, Oregon Vortex Still Keeps Experts Guessing. Here we go. On March 1st, a strange little sideways hut near Gold Hill in southern Oregon officially opened for the 2010 season, and the debate over whether it's the scene of a baffling scientific anomaly or a clever con job will rage on into the eighth decade. The hut is called the House of Mystery, and it's part of a place known as the Oregon Vortex. And if you're a serious hardcore X-Files fan, you probably already know about it. It was in a 1999 episode of the cult classic TV show. Really, the Vortex is a prime contender for Oregon's most successful roadside attraction, with the exception of Sea Lion Caves. Not so many years ago, there were quite a few of these, especially along Highway 101. They sported names like Prehistoric Gardens, the Sea Gulch, Trees of Mystery. Vacationing families would stop and explore them. Most of them are gone today, but the Oregon Vortex is still popular. It's been around since the 1930s. In it, water seems to run uphill. People's apparent size changes from one end of a plank to another. The operators say it's because of a confluence of magnetic influences that actually warp the fabric of space, causing massive old-growth trees to grow at a slant and objects to appear bigger or smaller depending on where they are relative to lines in the magnetic field. The place was developed and opened in 1930 by a Scottish fellow named John Litster, a geologist and a mining engineer. Litster spent much of his life trying to make sense of some of the unusual phenomena there and developed the magnetic force field theory. Or maybe he made it up. Again, I'm not taking a position on that. Litster's theory is that the property is the site of a spherical force field, half above the ground and half below it, just under 165 feet in diameter, which causes these things. In particular, Litster found the House of Mystery intriguing. This was an assay shack built by the Old Gray Eagle Mining Company in 1904. At some point, it apparently was knocked off its foundation by some sort of geological disruption, probably a flood, and found its way to its current spot, half collapsed sideways by its ordeal. Litster shored the wreck up to make it safe and kept it just like it was. For decades, skeptics have scoffed. The effect of people's heights changing has been ascribed to something called a Ponzo illusion, in which heavy chevron-shaped lines bracketing two identical figures cause the eye to perceive height differences in them. Also, without any horizon line or point of reference, it's hard to really know for sure if that water really is flowing uphill in the House of Mystery. So is the Oregon Vortex simply a monument to 80 years of psychological suggestion and expert illusioneering? Or is there really something unusual about the place? Could there be a real scientific basis for this pseudoscientific-sounding force field theory? Until a thorough scientific study is done, we can't really know. And the people who do thorough scientific studies generally tend to have better things to do than try to debunk goofy pop-sci theories that seem ridiculous on their face. But the operators of the Vortex have pretty much always maintained an open-door policy to the skeptics. Photographs are encouraged. Skeptical investigations meet with enthusiastic cooperation and even offers of free admission to the site while investigating. It's difficult to imagine an elaborate con job surviving this kind of openness, combined with the sort of scrutiny paranormal claims always inspire for such a long period of time, even in a relatively remote corner of southern Oregon. Maybe that openness is just part of the con. Either way, the place is a wonderful piece of Oregon history and well worth checking out. Key sources in this story have included works by Sarah Kershaw, OregonVortex.com, and O4SR.org, which is Oregonians for Science and Reason's website. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you're listening to is one of roughly 300 newspaper columns published between 2008 and today. Since 2008, Offbeat Oregon has grown to include a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a fleet of Pinterest boards, a ton of great historic photos, and a bunch of other stuff that you can explore by mousing over the little row of square badges that you can find at the top of our hub page, which is at offbeatoregon.com. Visuals that go with today's show will also be found at offbeatoregon.com. You'll also find full citations to the sources for all of the stories there. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. See offbeatoregon.com/CC for the deets. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Email me, finn@offbeatoregon.com, or ping me on Twitter @@offbeatoregon. And also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time for a cup of coffee, do let me know. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.